Back here on Downtown. It is 4:30, your Thursday afternoon. Time to talk some hockey. So we brought in the best of the best, Mike Toole, television broadcaster on the Black Bear Sports Network, right here in studio with us. Hello there, Mike.
Hey, Richard. Great to be with you once again. And talking hockey is what we do, and it's been a great year for that, hasn't it?
Indeed it has. Now, you also brought along your...
My driver.
Your driver? Your number two in command at Clear Point?
She's my handler. Jillian's here with us. Say hi to everybody, Bubbles. Get a microphone on her. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I'd do without her, quite honestly.
Well, I think we know. A lot of crawling getting that thumb in the air.
I wouldn't be doing as well.
No.
There's no doubt.
It's been that way for a while, right?
Hasn't it? Yes.
You better believe it. Well, yeah, let's talk about, before we look at the playoffs, let's talk about the season. Certainly, this Black Bears team has exceeded expectations, and while there have been some ups and downs along the way, I think if you'd told anybody back in preseason that they would be at this point number three in the conference, number seven in the pairwise, and getting ready to host a playoff game, people would have been quite happy with that.
Well, sure. They were picked to finish ninth. And they finished third. So we've seen the progression from Ben Barr's first year to the second year to now the third year, moving up. You could see the difference in the way they were playing right off the bat this year, where they're just more dynamic offensively. That was their big problem over the last couple of years. Played the game the right way, but can't finish around the net. Generate a lot of shot opportunities. Shoot it wide, hit the post, right into the goaltender's midsection, and you just weren't getting the production, even though, you got looks at the net. So now they get the finishers. Obviously, the Nadeau brothers, Josh and Bradley, they've been the difference makers. They were the big difference in the first half of the year. Then the second half of the year, it started to broaden out.
Mm.
You had some pleasant surprises like Harrison Scott, basically a guy they plucked off the waiver wire. I know that's not exactly how it happens, but the transfer portal
right.
Cuts both ways. And this year it's cut in favor of Maine. So he's been a huge part of the story. And then Thomas Friel, his progression from year one to year two, Donovan Newell, remarkably consistent. Now he's up to 10 goals, gives you that physical presence. You've got, a few guys that are exceeding expectation, like on the back end, Chabrier, giving you meaningful production from the back end. And so it's a combination of things combined with the fact that I think Coach Barr understands how to get a team ready to play the right way. And when I say play the right way, okay, that's kind of a broad term. What does that actually mean? It's attention to detail. Passes on the tape. You don't even a partner pass, you regroup in the neutral zone, you have to go back to your own zone. That pass from D to D that sort of resets, you're on the right side of the ice and then you're going to the left side, and that pass has to be made with precision. If you make your partner turn back at all, now the forecheck is in on you. Now you're scrambling to get out of your own end. So they get out of their own end efficiently. Staying above the puck is another thing that he preaches. If you're in the offensive zone, stay on the right side of your checks if you're on the defensive zone so that you don't have to reach in and take a penalty. Now, those things come and go throughout the season, and there's a stretch that we just came through where it wasn't going that well, right? The weekend, the lost weekend at UNH comes to mind. The losses to teams that, look, when we get past the January segment of the season, back from the break, they were playing well, and then the last stretch where they had UNH and they had Vermont and they had UMass and they had Northeastern, who's turned out to be trending in the right direction at the right time. I looked at the schedule and go, wow, these are all winnable games, and they sort of stumbled. They didn't play the right way. They got behind. They chased it. Then the penalty bug kind of crept back in. And it's like, wow, what is going on? Well, what's going on is Hockey East, first of all, is a really tough league this year. Excuse me. So top to bottom, there's no easy outs. It's a murderer's row of teams that you have to play. And the good teams that stumbled out of the gate because of whatever reason, injury, like Northeastern's really banged up, got better. And so everybody's getting better this time of year. Maine all of a sudden seemed like they weren't doing as well in some of these critical departments, but they righted the ship. They managed to get a win at Vermont the second night, so they got points, which was pretty big. Then they had the weekend with UMass. They won both of those. And so now all of a sudden they seem to be, you know, playing the right way again, and they're trending in the right direction. They also wonder when a goaltending change.
Right, I was going to ask about that. Beginning of the year, it was all Victor, and then all of a sudden, Boya came in, got very hot for a while. Where are they now with their goalies?
I think Coach is just more confident in Albin Boya at this point. Now, Victor's a good goaltender, no knock on him, but you watch the way Albin plays. It's a very controlled style. It's uncharacteristic of him because he's usually very good at controlling rebounds. He gave up some big rebounds last weekend against UMass, especially Saturday night, which is how they scored their goals. They don't score on him too often. First shot, you know, it's a rebound or a redirect. That's how most goals get scored in hockey. It's not the first shot usually.
Right.
Although that's what Maine did. They scored on the power play. Harrison Scott, Sully Scholey. He's another guy that's elevated and has scored some really important goals and some really good-looking goals. You know, Coach has decided he's the horse he's going to ride. If he were to go down, I think he'd still be confident in Victor. Victor is a good goaltender. But Boya, it seems the way the team plays in front of him, even when they lose, they don't lose by a lot. He's, you know, his goals against is 2.03, I believe, 917 save percentage. Those are solid numbers, yeah. You know, and just the way the team seems to play in front of him. But it's really the control of rebounds that I think sets him apart. And Victor's been sort of victimized by, you know, giving up that first goal in the first 5 minutes of the game, and now you're chasing it, yeah. And it just kind of sets the tone. And so Boya got the chance back in December against UNH, stood on his head, played great. They won that game handily. Boya made some big saves. He just looks, when you look at him and he makes a big save, he seems like he's in control, and it's not like this Herculean, acrobatic, you know, throwing it all out there. It's a position, more often than not, it's a positional save.
Right.
There were a couple times Saturday night where puck comes across laterally, right wing to left wing. He's already there, square to the shooter, top of the crease, and the puck hits him, and it's like he's a vacuum, doesn't give up that rebound. And so I think he's the guy that he'll get the start Saturday night in all likelihood. This is going to be a heck of a game, by the way.
Well, yeah, let's talk about New Hampshire. No surprise that they got the win last night. I think they had beaten Lowell a couple times just last weekend.
They
right?
did. Yeah. They beat them 4-0 home-and-home series both nights, 4-0. Won against them last night, 1-0. Not a lot of shots, 21-15, similar to the game that Maine had at UMass when they won 1-0, scored in the first period. It's kind of similar to that. A couple of concerns about UNH. First of all, their goaltender's on a real heater. 3 shutouts in a row. I mean, look, UMass Lowell's offensively challenged. We all know that. They average about 2 goals a game, give up 3.5. So they're upside down in terms of their goal differential. But still, it requires a lot of concentration. I watched the game last night. He made a couple of really big saves. When UMass Lowell had the power play and they had offensive momentum, he made the big save in the big moment. So there's that worry. Now, you know, we see this all the time in hockey. A hot goaltender can carry you all the way to the finals, right? Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Bobrovsky you know. And college hockey, obviously, a lot different than pro hockey. There's single game playoffs, it's not a series and all that, but so there's that. UNH really I thought took it to Maine at UNH back in February, 5-2, 6-2 both night. I mean, it wasn't that close. They got behind, chased it, didn't play the game the right way, got penalties. They had a period where they were taking these major penalties, Coach wants them to finish checks. Somebody's got the puck. You go to confront him. Even after he passes the puck, he's eligible for body contact for about a second. Well, you know, you had a case where I think it was Poisson or Donovan Newell, you know, contact to the head. It's this close to not being a penalty, but it ends up being a penalty, and then they review it, and it's a major penalty, yeah. And he's out of the game. That happened, I think, three times in the second half of the year. They've calmed that down quite a bit, but UNH presents the problem of they're not a big team, but they're a fast team, and they're a skating club, and they move the puck really well. So unlike UMass last weekend, which is heavy, you know, they're averaging 6'2 forwards. Maine's 5'9", 5'10", most of the time. They got a couple of bigger guys up front. They're a little bit undersized on the defensive end. They got a couple of big guys. Brazil 6'4", Lesikowski 6'5", but Charbonnet's 5'10", Antonacci's 5'9", Holt 5'9". So it's a different, they're in on top of you on the forecheck. They're heavy pressure and so forth. UNH will apply pressure, but it's not as physical. It's fast. So Maine's going to have to adjust to the speed of UNH. They handled them in the preseason. They handled them up here in December. On the big ice sheet at UNH, boy, they were chasing it all night.
And if you get a lead here, get that Alphon crowd making some noise and make it tough to come from behind.
Critical. Critical. Got to get on them early. Expect they're going to come out flying. But, you know, as if you needed more to play for. I mean, obviously, you had asked me in December, do you think Maine could go to Boston? I said, yeah, they could. Could they contend for the national title? Well, you know, I think they're a couple of players away from being a serious contender, but they're going to make the national tournament by virtue of their rank.
Let me ask you about that, too. So what do you think Maine has to do to avoid leaving the East for the national tournament?
Do
they need to get to the Hockey East Finals to have a shot at that?
Possibly. But, you know, you've got some heavyweights in the East. You got Boston College, Boston University. They're going to stay. They're going to keep them local.
Right.
The thing Maine has going for them, if you're the NCAA, and to be honest with you, I know how the pairwise works. I know how, you know, the rankings and all that and what determines who's in. But as to who goes where, I think it's very subjective.
Yeah.
And if you've got these Eastern teams staying home, you know, you got Providence, you've got Springfield. If UMass is not going to make it, which looks like they're not going to now, there's a team that would have likely hosted at Springfield.
Right.
Is their back door. So they're not in it. So I think that helps Maine to stay in the East, but we were talking Saturday night. Larry Mahoney knows all this backwards and forwards. Yeah. And his speculation was that they would be sent to either Maryland Springs, Missouri, or Bismarck, South Dakota, is the other regional. So it's hard to know if that's an advantage or a disadvantage. I mean, from the standpoint of Maine fans traveling, obviously it's harder to get out west. Mm. But Maine fans travel well.
Yes,
and maybe
they do.
That's a, you know, they don't make a lot of money in these regionals. They're not as well attended.
Right.
And so maybe the NCAA would look at, well, we know Maine fans are going to travel, so let's keep Maine in the East. And so maybe there's that. But obviously the higher the rank, you know, if you can get to the Hockey East Finals, which that'd be a tall order.
Yeah.
You know, if the seedings hold, Boston College will be number one. They would play, let me look at it here.
We're talking with Mike Toole, Black Bear Hockey here on Downtown.
Northeastern. So they would, which is a tough draw for them.
Yeah.
Northeastern has beaten Boston University.
Right.
Maine would have to play, Boston College would play Northeastern. Boston University and Maine would play, which is I don't like that. No. I actually like the matchup against Boston College better.
Mm.
More free flowing. Maine can frustrate them with their forecheck. They can disrupt the flow, which should help against UNH too, but the BU matchup is tougher.
I don't think we've talked to you since Ben Barr got his contract extension. I thought that was, along with the Amy Vashon contract, a great move by Jude Kelly and the administration of Maine.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, that puts them on par with other schools of similar size. I mean, you want to be competitive. You want to be in Division I. Mm-hmm. You want to play big boy hockey.
Yep.
Well, you know, if you want talent, you're going to have to pay up. And, you know, we recognize that that may not be, you know, at the level that BC and BU are. But, you don't have to be there. You got to be.
Just don't be at the bottom.
Yeah. And they were in the bottom by like a lot.
Yeah.
So that was great. Amy getting her contract is great. $45 million being pumped into Alfond Arena. That's got to help.
Yeah. What did you think of those designs?
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. But you know what? Ben showed me a montage one time, you know, he had on his phone, all the dressing rooms around the league. They all kind of look like that.
Yeah.
And then the last in the slideshow was Maine's, and it's like,
oh,
where is this? Gaza?
Yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to get where much of the league already is.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, you know, it's a results-oriented business, and Barr has made Maine relevant again. Mm. 10 sellouts leads the league, by the way. It just creates, you know, it creates the financial flexibility for a lot of things. And, you know, I know that makes them, I don't know, number one or two in the state as far as state employees go. Okay.
Yep.
Do you want a good hockey team or do you not?
Well, and I use the old Babe Ruth line. Frankly, he's had a better year than Janet Mills. And that's not a political statement.
No.
But, you know, look where they are.
That's right. That's
right.
And
that's the way of the world in college athletics, whether
no doubt
people want to believe that or not.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Where are we with the AM radio legislation? I think that's what fans want to know.
I don't know. I don't know what's happening there, but I know that we're running PSAs from the National Association of Broadcasters. Save AM radio.
Yes, yes. And let's get rid of TikTok. I don't care.
I'm fine with that. That's all right.
And look, Jill's shaking her head over there.
And if something happens with AM radio that they stop putting it in new cars, I'm just going to go to people's houses. I'm willing to do that.
We're not above that sort of thing to get the message out to the people.
Exactly.
That's right. So I hear our senators are behind this legislation, which helps.
Yeah.
And
Well, look, all I know is this. It's been around forever. It's pretty important, and especially in small communities, it's important in getting information out when there are emergencies. And you know, the way the weather is going these days, we're going to have more of these situations, I think. Where
so it would seem, yeah.
People are leaning on radio to learn what's going on out there. So I think we'll be around. I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, we got important shows like this one.
Huge. Yeah,
huge.
Absolutely.
Huge.
Huge, baby. Mike Toole, great to see you again, my friend.
Good to see you, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks for bringing Jillian in to brighten things up.
Well, you know, she's the straw that stirs the drink in our office.
No question about that.
No doubt about it.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Rich.
We'll see you soon. Mike Toole, talking Black Bear Hockey. There you go. By the way, if I mentioned, Black Bear Reports are brought to you by Clearpoint Capital.
Oh,
call Mike Toole, 307-7718. We'll take a break. Back in just a moment on Downtown.
Hi there. This is